This week we discuss the benefits of wealth and also its limitations. We are here continuing our consideration of Proverbs chapters 10 through 29. In those chapters, wealth is one of the most frequently mentioned topics. Last week we introduced the topic of wealth generally and discussed numerous passages about work and sloth. That seemed to make the most sense since it is work that creates wealth in the first place. And so now we move on to considering why it is good to have wealth. Primarily, the benefit of wealth is that it gives a person power, and with that power, independence and freedom. And with those things come friends and influence. But good as wealth is, it can't buy you everything. It can't stop death or alter the truth. It can't give you wisdom or make people love you. In the end, there are things that are more important than wealth, and you would prefer to focus on those things. It is better to be righteous, to have God's favor, and to be with loved ones in a peaceful life than it is to bring in a bunch of riches. You have no particular passage for consideration this week, since I will draw material from throughout the Proverbs, and I will reference the passages as we come to them. I recommend that you continue reading through Proverbs 10 through 29 independently. First, as we mentioned last week, having wealth gives a person power. This is naturally intuitive. If you have the wealth, then you can get the things that you need or want, and if you have what you need or want, then you can use it to get the things that you want. Want to go for a swim? Well, if you have enough wealth to buy a pool, then you can do it. Wealth also gives you some limited power to tell other people what to do. If you've got no money, you cook your own dinner. But if you've got a lot of money, then you can pay someone else and tell him to do it for you. And if you want to pay a tip, you can even have a way to bring it out to you. Having wealth also makes you independent from other people, which means you can do more of what you want and less of what they want. If someone offers you a job and tells you to get to work and you're broke, then you'll get to work whether you like the terms or not. But if you've got wealth stored up, you can walk away from the deal and do something else. So the more wealth you have, the more power and freedom you have. The less wealth you have, the more weak and dependent you are. Proverbs 18:23 says, "The poor use entreaties, but the rich answer roughly." And that makes sense. A poor person depends on others. He has to speak nicely to his boss so that he doesn't get fired. He's nice to his customers because he can't afford to lose them. He needs people to treat him charitably, so he's got to be friendly. But the rich man doesn't have to worry about that. He doesn't need people, so he can talk to them how he wants. If he's rich enough, he can even pay his employees enough that they'll put up with anything he says, no matter how rude or absurd. Being wealthy gives a person the power to get what he wants. Proverbs 10:15 puts it this way, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin." And indeed, poverty is ruinous. It is true that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Once a person surpasses a certain amount of wealth, he has more to invest, and then his life can become more and more comfortable. By investing, he can save more and earn more. The poor, on the other hand, struggle just to keep their bills paid. With nothing left over, they can fall into a feedback loop of just getting poorer and poorer. I'll give you a few examples. I had a neighbor once who could not afford to pay his rent. On eviction day, the landlord threw everything the man owned into the street. It poured rain and ruined those things. So first, the man was too poor to pay his rent, and as a result, he came to own next to nothing. Another example, once many years ago, my family fell on hard times. We were forced to cancel theft coverage on our auto insurance. The van was stolen literally the next day. So first, I was too poor to pay for extra van insurance, and then as a result, I had no van at all. If you get too poor, it makes you poorer. The rich don't have those kinds of problems. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." And it is true. If you are in debt to someone else, then that person effectively controls your life. If a borrower can't make the loan payments, he'll lose his equity in his loan, what he's already paid in, and he'll lose his collateral. So the borrower has got to make those payments, and while he's making those payments, he'll be losing his shirt in interest. The borrower has got to work, and no matter the conditions of his work, he can't quit until he has something better in line. He loses his freedom, and the fruits of his labor go to the lender. That arrangement is slavery, if only indirectly. Those words, "the borrower is the slave of the lender," struck me relatively early in life. I didn't have much in the way of college loans, but I did have them, and reading this passage in my early 20s, I realized that having more of them would be a bad idea. I had always worked, but I went for the rest of my college years living an impoverished lifestyle and working multiple jobs so that I could pay tuition in advance. I was even making payments toward my loan balance while I was still in school. After college, I was determined to pay off the loans before anything else. To save money, I refused to run the heat unless temperatures would hit freezing, and even then I would heat only one room of my apartment. I never used the air conditioning. I had a grocery budget of literally about $20 a week, and I did not even buy new light bulbs in my apartment when they died. After a year of working and sitting in the dark and freezing and sweating, I had the loans paid off. I have never gone back into debt again. You can imagine that I have little sympathy for my peers who drank and partied through college, who never worked, who lived a lifestyle beyond their means after graduation, and who still think that taxpayers should be on the hook to bail them out. But that's a whole other can of worms. My point is that getting out of debt young has allowed me to make a lot of investments that I couldn't have made otherwise, and while I've certainly had my struggles, I'm much better off today for it. So my strong recommendation to you is that you make whatever sacrifices are necessary to get out of debt, to get out of debt quickly, to get out of debt early, and to stay out of debt. Not only does having wealth give a person power and freedom, it also gives him friends. People like power, and they like to cozy up to it. If you can get what you want, then you can probably also get your friends what they want. People also like people who are independent and self-reliant. They want to be around people who don't need anything from them. Unfortunately, if you need something from your friends, then they are less likely to be your friends, because it is wearying to support someone who needs something. Proverbs 19:4 says this, "Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friend." Proverbs 14:20 agrees, "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." And again in Proverbs 19:6-7, "Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. All a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them." This is very selfish of people, making friends with those who can give them something and breaking friendships with those who need something of them. And it is also highly unfortunate because it is so destructive. As we have noted, poverty only makes a person more impoverished. I am highly confident that there are many people out there who, if their friends could just get them out of a destructive poverty cycle, could make beneficial investments and become contributing members of society. But of course, such noble cases as that are disappointingly difficult to find. As we have noted, many people end up in a state of poverty in the first place because of bad character and poor choices and sloth. However, cases of those who are impoverished and suffering as a result of injustice or undue misfortune do exist, and we, as friends, should be sure to help in such cases. We should not shrug off our friends for light and transient causes. We should not brand them as toxic and emotionally draining because they need something. We should have a better sense of justice than that. We should look at people and try to determine objectively whether or not they are the cause of their own problems. We should try to determine whether or not they are redeemable. We should be prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt and to act selflessly on their behalf. But most people aren't like that. Most people just want to get what they can get and to give nothing back. For right or for wrong, this is the way of the world. I've spoken this irony before, and I'm sure I will again. The only real way to have friends is to not need them for anything. That, of course, is ironic, because if you need them, you don't have them, and if you have them, you don't need them. It forces one to ask whether there is any reason to try to have friends at all. But if you want friends, my recommendation to you, then, is that you become wealthy enough that you can be independent and need nothing from them, that you may give generously to people, that you selflessly be the kind of friend that you would want them to be, and that you never really expect them to return the favor. However, good as having wealth may be, money can't buy you everything. Earlier, we cited Proverbs 10:15 as saying that a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and while that is true, there is a limit to that. Proverbs 18:11 gives us the counterpoint. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. Your wealth may give you some power, but there's always a limit to what it can do. You can pay people to do things for you, but some people won't take money to do some things, no matter how much you offer. And sometimes the problems associated with having money might make you wish that you did not have money at all. Proverbs 13:8 says, "The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man hears no threat." So your wealth might protect you, but it might also create an incentive for someone to rob you or kidnap you. So sure, having enough money will rescue you from your kidnappers when they take you away, but then you might prefer to be poor and unable to pay a ransom so that no one wants to kidnap you in the first place. A rich man can build walls around his wealth to protect it from theft all that he wants, but the only perfect security against theft is to have nothing to steal. And your riches, however much of them you gain, cannot save you from death. They might stave death off for a while. You can buy healthy food and a gym membership and the best medical treatment that money can buy, but in the end, death comes for us all. Proverbs 11:4 tells us, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And indeed, your righteousness may deliver you where your wealth will not. God may show a good man special favor. A good man may be found innocent by the court and spared. His good conduct may give him favor with those who might otherwise want him dead, and so forth. Of course, this also is a generality. The righteous also die, even if generally not as early. Your wealth also can't buy you wisdom. Proverbs 17:16 asks, why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? And as we've said, if you have to choose between having wealth and having wisdom, you would rather have wisdom. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And as I have noted before, while your riches can't buy you wisdom, your wisdom can help you earn riches. Money also cannot change the truth. You can have all the money in the world, but if you are wrong, you are wrong. Proverbs 28:11 tells us that a rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out. And alas, your money cannot make people love you. If you have a bad reputation and people speak ill of you, no amount of money is worth that. One of the greatest strengths of wealth is that you can use it to get people onto your side. You can pay them to work for you and with you. But if you have a good reputation, sometimes people will help you for free. And if you have a bad reputation, sometimes people won't help you no matter how much you offer. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. And indeed, this is why we find that even so great as the Ten Commandments prohibit a person from bearing false witness against his neighbor. To damage a person's reputation can be irreparably disastrous. In the end, the picture is this. It is good to have riches, and riches will help, but riches are not the be-all, end-all in which you should put your trust. Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. One fact that the Proverbs make clear over and again is that it is better to be poor and to be good, or in the midst of good circumstances, than it is to be rich and bad, or in the midst of bad circumstances. Proverbs 16:8 tells us, better a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. We should, on that note, be sure to earn our wealth the right way, since we would rather not have it than to get it the wrong way. More on that next week. Proverbs 19:1 agrees, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. Proverbs 28:6 is very similar. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. If you're a fool and a liar, people won't get along with you regardless of whether or not you have money, and your good conduct and good relationships will probably take you farther than the money would have. If you are righteous and wise, you will probably earn wealth for yourself, but if you have wealth and are foolish, then there's a realistic chance of you frittering away your money regardless. So helpful as wealth is, there are other things. And all the money in the world isn't worth endless trouble and strife and hatred. Proverbs 15:17 says, better is a dinner with herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Proverbs 17:1 says, better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. So wealth brings benefits, but you would prefer to do right and to have a peaceful life with people you love than you would to get rich. We should want to get wealth, but we should make sure that we keep that in its proper priority. It isn't worthwhile to trade your principles, your people, your health, or your well-being for money. To conclude then, wealth has its benefits. When you have money, you are empowered to do what you want. When you don't, you are compelled to do what others want. And having money encourages people to like you, while being poor pushes them to hate you. If you earn much wealth, you will give a good inheritance to your children and help your family for generations to come. But money can't buy you everything. It can't get you wisdom, it can't change reality, it can't save you from death, and money can't help you if you have a bad reputation. In the end, the idea is this. It is good to have wealth, but if you have to choose, you would prefer to be poor and righteous, with God on your side, and with less strife.
For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.